came up in email today, and I know some people don't always see emails immediately, but then I had a little bit of an exchange with Ursula at the Affiliates Network. So there's an email about the fact that we are now making available to the networks and all the affiliates programming direct from the Ukraine one of the things that Ursula wanted me to share with directors, in case you know of someone who can help, that this is basically being conducted through one of the affiliates, WOMR in Provincetown, Massachusetts. There's a woman who actually had a Jewish comedy show on WOMR who is also Ukrainian descent, and reached out to folks in associated with, I believe it's called Krana FM, which is a network of Ukrainian radio stations that when they went, their towers were bombed and they went off the air, and they, you know, kind of figured out a way to get back to broadcasting in 27 cities in Ukraine. It's community radio at its finest. Mm-hmm. And the WOMR programmer reached out to them and finally got them to coordinate with us in terms of sharing content. One of the things that Ursula was wondering if people could help out with is we're providing the editing, that is Pacifica is helping WOMR with the editing of all this content that's coming from Ukraine. And so if you know of editors at your stations who might be able to help out with some of that editing work, Ursula could really appreciate the help. You know, many hands make light work. So if you could do that, and please read the thing that was the link that was in Ursula's email, because this really, you know, strikes me as a tremendous, tremendous potential upside for Pacifica. So anyway, so then the next item on the agenda is the motion by that came through the National Finance Committee. Jim Sagerton, do you want to, well, here, let me read the motion first, and then you can.
Can you give me times for the items?
Yes. So we are, this item is a 10-minute item, Lawrence. Thank you.
Thank you.
So let me just read the NFC motion on the WBAI budget. Okay. I'm sorry. It's really the KPFT budget, I think. That the NFC recommend to the PMB that they approve the proposed KPFT FY22 budget. Jim, is it the WBAI or the KPFT budget?
It's KPFT, Chair.
Thank you. Okay. So the only thing that's wrong is the header there. The proposed KPFT, so I will keep reading the motion. Let me start over. That the NFC recommend to the PMB that they approve the proposed KPFT FY22 budget, recognizing that it remains a deficit budget. Jim, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I want to note that the budget itself is was sent at 7:53 Eastern Time. And you can see it in your email. It's sent to the Pacifica National Board. We passed this budget about 5 weeks ago on March 22nd at the NFC meeting, where, just to remind everyone, we have representatives from PNB representatives from each of the five stations on that committee. We have the CFO, Julia Kennard, on that committee. And we also have the treasurers of the five stations. And, we passed this budget. It does have a $192,000 deficit. We're hoping that that can be closed when KPFT gets up on the air and broadcasting again and raising revenue. And basically, that's it. Don't have anything else to add.
Is there any discussion of this motion?
Yes. Susan.
Go ahead, Susan.
I serve on the NFC committee, and I am from KPFT. This is our budget that's being considered. And with apologies to my fellow members of the NFC, is somebody making a lot of noise? At any rate, I apologize, but I consider it to be a failure of mine, a failure of governance, and a failure of ours to hold management accountable that we are putting forward gross deficit budgets. The budget that was put in last year by KPFT, as I understand it, was in balance. This is a projection of where we are now, and it really isn't a budget. I understand that the bylaws call for us to adopt budgets annually and do not require a balanced budget. Nevertheless, I will abstain on this budget because I think it's going down a wrong path.
Thanks. Teresa?
It is appalling to me to put my name to this. I don't really feel like this is a budget. It's something that started long ago, and it's just evidence of serious problems. And I don't want to put my name to it. And I think that people that vote for this, it's like a red flag to the perhaps Attorney General in California that national board members are condoning a deficit spending, deficit budgets. So I'm going to vote against it. And at this point, I don't really understand the point.
Vanessa to the stack, please.
Vanessa, go ahead.
Can I have my hand up?
I'm sorry. Lawrence can go ahead if he wants.
I'd also like to be on the stack. Or I don't know if these are questions directed at me or whether these are just comments. Well, so you can advise me.
Yeah. Lawrence, Vanessa, and then James. I'll give you a chance to respond.
Thank you. I agree with both Teresa and Susan in regards to having to vote on deficit budgets, but it is a sign of the times that we are living in right now. And it seems like it's likely that three of the five stations are going to submit deficit budgets. And it is a red flag in regards to having to vote on a budget that's projected and is even projecting a deficit. I'm struggling with putting my name to this as well. But it is a sign of the times. Inflation is, through the clouds right now. Our financial situation, throughout the network is not good, other than WPFW still remaining afloat and KPFA doing well. But it is something that I have to consider voting for anyway, because it is a sign of the times. And I think anybody with a practical mind, and even the Attorney General of California, would understand that we are in the middle of an inflation that's through the roof. And we are in financial difficulties as a network. So I completely sympathize and understand. Thank you. I completely empathize and understand where Susan and Teresa are coming from. Thanks,
Lawrence. Vanessa.
So I trust and believe, and I'm, you know, that a lot of thought and consideration went into the budget. We are not the first or the last organization to adopt a deficit budget. It's not ideal. My question to James Sagerton is, if it were a quote unquote balanced budget, what would be the impact to the station? Would it do more harm than good?
Well, I can't imagine KPFT being there if we had a balanced budget, because they only have, what is it, two and a half employees. They don't have a building. They are, you know, this is an electric bill. a general manager, a business manager, a part-time board op, and, you know, subtract the deficit and that's gone. And what do you have? So, I just like to point out that this is not a deficit budget for the foundation as a whole. We do our budgets in a consolidated way. This is a budget for an individual unit. Too often in this organization, we view ourselves as five separate independent entities, but we're not. We're one organization. So we're going to have three deficit budgets this year. One of them is going to be quite large. It will make this one look small in comparison. But that is nonetheless where we are. And it's a reflection of our reality. And yes, this is not the first time an organization has ever had a deficit budget. If you think of your traditional, so-called traditional family budget, you know, people have a mortgage, they're in debt. We have done borrowing to try and manage our debt and the short-term crisis of the pandemic. So it's not as if we fall off the edge of the world and we're in debt. It's not good. It's not sustainable, but it's not the end of the world either. And I would point out also that this budget was passed without objection. It was passed 7-4-0 against in the Finance Committee. However, I'll note with three abstentions.
Thanks, Jim.
Nobody's happy about it.
Yeah. Jim Dingman.
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chair. Look, I share Teresa and Sue's attitude about this. I feel the same way about New York and Los Angeles. These are calls to action. These are not calls for us to be complacent. This is precisely why we have to change the content and all the other things that go on at these different stations so that we're in a plus situation. And I look on this as a call to action to change it and really not mess around this time. You know, I don't want to be depressed about this. I want to see it as a way for us to get out of it. And so that's how we have to view this, as an opportunity to change for the better. Thank you.
And then next up, I have Beth Von Gunten.
Yes, thank you. Do you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. Yes. Hard times do not relieve us of the responsibility to budget our limited resources. We could make the numbers prettier, but that wouldn't make them real or credible. This budget reflects the current reality we're struggling with. So as it's a reality check budget. It reflects the actual circumstances we're dealing with. I will be supporting this budget as the best we can hope for now. I would point out that this is our second budget in a row for this station and for as we continue standing up the budget process. Until last year, there hadn't been budgets anywhere for years and years and years. We got through 7 of the 8 last year, and we're ahead of now of where we were then. This is part of that excruciating, long, slow process of standing back up a regular standard budget process. So, yes, I will be supporting this budget. Thank you.
Chair, timekeeper, we are at 10 minutes time for this item.
Got it. We still have a bit of a stack. Can I get a motion to extend for 5?
James.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Lawrence moved. James seconded. Any objections to the motion to extend for 5? Hearing none, let's keep going. Julia Kennard was next.
I just wanted to reiterate what I think someone was trying to say also, was that bypassing this does not mean that we can allow this to play out, and that that means that we are accepting that we can have these deficits. We have to make changes quickly. Whether it be, you know, things that might take a longer term effect, the programming, things like that, but within the next couple of months, we have to make some dramatic changes. So again, I was not happy about having so many deficit budgets. But if we're going to put a budget out there, it is a reality. We were not in a position to go through and slash expenses to make those budgets balance. But something does have to happen within the next few couple of months.
Thanks, Julia. Next up, Sue Goodwin.
Really hearing well the voices for a solidarity type of position, and I'm leaning towards yes, but I feel that I do have to ask, what are the consequences for Pacifica at large in approving a deficit budget, and are there any kinds of caveats that we could attach to the vote that might address important concerns?
Who is your question directed to?
I was going to say, Jim, do you want to take a crack at that?
Sure. What was the first part of the question again?
What are the consequences?
Yeah, for Pacifica at large.
Well, as I was saying, we don't fall off the edge of the earth. However, it is, you know, it is an ill wind. It bodes ill for the future. It is, as I think Julia expressed it best, it's a reality check for where we are, and describing where we are now, and we have to make significant adjustments going forward. I'm hoping, against hope, that the adjustments we can make are going to be on the revenue side by sharing the successful programs around the network, I'm blanking on the other things that we can do to enhance revenue at the moment, but I'm hoping we can enhance revenue, but I assume there's going to have to be a mix of expense cuts, and to the extent we can enhance revenue, we can have fewer expense cuts, but it's going to have to be a give and take on those two items.
And this is Julie, and I'll just take a moment to note that, you know, the bylaws say that it's the responsibility of the National Finance Committee to review and approve budgets, and then also to make quarterly reviews of progress against those budgets, right? And so if you don't have a budget, you know, you need a baseline against which to, you know, kind of make those quarterly reviews, and then obviously work with the units that are, you know, in some financial difficulties to try and, you know, make the situation better. I see a whole bunch of hands, and all of these hands look like they're people who've spoken before, so I don't know whether it's just because you haven't put your hands back down or whether
I'll put my hand back up, Chair.
Okay, go ahead, Lawrence.
And Susan as well.
Yeah, okay, go ahead, Lawrence.
Okay, so my question is, when did the NFC approve these budgets, and why did we get the budgets 37 minutes and before the meeting? James?
As I said earlier, this budget was approved on March 22nd. The treasurers of all the stations have had this budget since then.
I'll just note that Sharon Salam seems to have joined the meeting. Go ahead, James.
Okay. And I believe the budget has been sent out previously to the PNB. So it's just, I think, as to why it didn't get here, why I got here 37 minutes before the meeting, I did send it earlier to the secretary, but I sent it in an email that had other things in it, and I think she didn't see it. And so when I saw that it wasn't in the agenda, I had to call her and ask her to send out the budget separately again. Not again, but just to send it out separately. It has been around for 5 weeks, but we had a glitch that I'll take responsibility for in getting it to the committee. I did send it 6 hours ago, but it wasn't in a form that anybody could see until 37 minutes ago.
It looks like Beth von Gunten's up, hand up again.
Just very briefly, I would point out that anyone who opposes the budget as is really has a responsibility to put forth an alternate budget. It's not enough just to throw up our hands and say, well, you know, it's not good enough, or, well, we can't really do a budget this year because there's not enough money. We have an obligation to provide a budget, and if this doesn't suit people, then it really behooves them to put forth a viable alternative. Thank you.
Chair, excuse me, but we have 5 minutes for this item.
Motion to extend by five.
I second, Lawrence.
Thank you. Any objections to the motion to extend by five? Hearing none. We're extended for 5 minutes, Lawrence. Thank you. Go ahead, Susan. You're next.
Okay. I think that what Jim has brought up is absolutely critical. We are looking at these on a piecemeal basis. The whole is what really counts. And three deficit budgets to me suggests the whole is in big trouble. And I posed a motion to the NFC that we asked the PNB to call a special meeting for the executive director and CFO to give us a thorough rundown on where we are from a financial standpoint holistically. I'm hoping we will get some of that now. And I think that major options need to be under consideration now. I know they do for KPFT.
Thanks. Teresa?
Well, I would never have, we talk about us approving this. I would never have approved this a year ago if this had been proposed to us. I would have said, you know, we need to sit here until we fix this budget. So maybe we need to have a meeting to discuss what we're going to do before we pass this. Our bylaws say we're supposed to be, East Station is to be as nearly sustainable as possible. This is not sustainable. So I don't understand the point in saying yes to this after the fact, after we spent the money. I'm just appalled that we spent the money.
Jim Dingman.
Now, the mission statement in its first paragraph talks about each unit has to be self-sustaining. This issue's been going on for 20, 25 years. So I'm really sorry that, you know, we're now in a situation where it's all coming down at once. It has to be reversed at once, okay? And again, the fact that each station, this is nothing new to any of us who've been involved with this for years. This has been, unfortunately, going in this direction now for 20 years. We've lost 75% of our audience since 2000. So, you know, I just get angry when I hear these kind of talks. We have to get together and change it immediately to the better. And I would approve these budgets because I don't think people want to stay in this situation of deficit financing. It's absurd. We have to turn it around in each station. And there's things that we can do concretely. It's in my opinion that there have been actors, in my opinion, acting contrary to raising the revenues in each of these stations. And, you know, we could talk about executive station, but that's a fact. So, like, we have to just get together and change it around for the better, and we got to do it now in collaboration and in unity and in cooperation, not fighting each other about all this.
Vanessa.
Sorry, I was trying to unmute. So at one time, PFW had a deficit budget. We did, I think, for several years, and we're not there now. So a deficit budget doesn't mean that we should make some draconian moves that will result in decimating that particular station.
Good point.
Just need to handle it as responsibly as we can. And this budget is the most responsible thing that we can do right now.
Thanks. That looks like we exhausted the stack, or at least I think.
Chair,
go ahead,
make
Chair.
One concluding
yes,
comment?
Absolutely.
Sort of in response to what everybody's been saying. I think if we just go back and reflect on the social contract of sorts that Lou Hill offered us when he started this foundation. It was, if we could offer radio that people would be willing to donate to, we could have listener-supported non-commercial radio in this country. And that's the choice we're still faced with. Again, I say I want to see us improve the revenue side, which means having programming that people out there are willing to support. And I don't mean, I joke about making programs about monster truck rallies or something. I don't mean that. I mean within our milieu, within our art, within our progressive context, we need to make programs that speak to people that people want to hear and want to contribute for. That's all. Thank you.
Thanks. There are a couple people whose hands
are James McFadden.
Hang on. Go ahead, Lawrence. Sorry. Lawrence, you had a request for information?
Yeah, Julia Kennard was saying that. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Julia Kennard was saying that that we need to do something, and if she could tell us what it is that she had in mind. Not that I'm putting all of this on that up.
Julia, do you want to take a crack at that?
I apologize. It took me a minute to unmute. I think that the situation is extremely different at each station. And so there's not a blanket answer. I will say that the alternative for the KPFT deficit budget is close the station. And so I know nobody wants that. Someone is correct. You know, originally they had a balanced budget, and had it been approved, you know, in September, we would be going along la-di-da thinking we have a balanced budget. And, you know, I was the one who said, I will take responsibility for that. I was the one who said, I can't, you know, and I think some other people had even said too, like, well, we're already so many months into the year. How can we not update this to know where we are year to date? So while a balanced budget was presented at the end of the last fiscal year, by the time we got to it, it was not occurring. And so we needed to be realistic. And we went back through and made adjustments to what the realities of this fiscal year are. And it is an unbalanced budget. I definitely 100% agree on both points that it's weird. Why did we change something that was a balanced budget originally? Well, because why would we pass something that we know is not going to work? That makes no sense. So I agree that approving all of these negative or these unbalanced budgets, it gives me heartburn. But we need to, it's the realities of the moment, and we have to do something in each of these units to affect change. Stephanie and I talk a lot about the different things at the different units. We also need to not forget that WPFW and KPFA are not always going to be, you know, we can't assume that they're always going to be successful.
Chair, we are at time for this extension.
Got it. I see one hand that's up for somebody who hasn't spoken, which is James McFadden. So, James, you're free to make a motion to extend for 2 minutes.
Motion to extend for 1 minute. That's all I need.
Can I get a second?
A second. Okay.
Any objections to the motion to extend for a minute? Hearing none. James, go ahead.
I just want to remind people, this is a proposal, something to gauge what happened in the future against. So we can gauge, you know, it's the best that we can have right now of what we expect, but it's something we compare it to. It's not something that we're going to strive to do. We're going to strive to do much better. It's just you're going to compare it with. And I should just point out that every single station had deficit spending when they were started. No station had revenues at the beginning. When you start, you have all kinds of upfront costs. And if you think about it that way, we're restarting these stations, and we're going to drive to get revenues up to turn them into a positive budget situation where they can not only increase their revenues above the levels now, but enough so that they can grow the station. And that's just the way to look at it. We got to make, you know, we're going to take money elsewhere for the moment and invest it in this. And it's going to turn around if we, you know, work at it correctly. Thanks.
I call the question.
Thanks. I think we probably, our minute is up and we exhausted the stack. So,
we are at time, Chair.
Yes, we're at time. So, are there any objections to the motion to approve the KPFT budget?
I do.
Got it. Thanks. Marion, could you call the roll on the motion to approve the KPFT budget?
So, Teresa Allen.
No.
My computer does weird things. Votes no. Jim Dingaman.
Yes.
Votes yes. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Yes.
Votes yes. Donald Goldmacher.
No.
Votes no. Sue Goodwin.
Yes.
Votes yes. Heather Gray.
Yes.
Votes yes. Donna Grimes.
Yes.
Votes yes. Evelia Jones.
No.
Votes no. Ali Lexa.
Yes.
Votes yes. Marianne Martinez.
No.
Votes no. James McFadden.
Yes.
Votes yes. Darlene Pagano.
Abstain.
Abstains. Okay. Lawrence Reyes.
Realistically, yes. Yes. Unfortunate.
Sean Rhodes.
Yes.
Votes yes. James Sagerton.
Yes.
Votes yes. Sharon Salam. Sharon Salam.
Oh, yeah, I abstain.
Abstains. Okay. Mark van Landout.
Abstain.
Abstains. Okay. Beth van Gunten.
Yes.
Votes yes. Egberto Willis.
No.
Votes no. Susan Young.
Abstain.
Abstains.
Chair, Lawrence wishes to change his vote.
Where are we? Lawrence.
I wish to abstain as well.
You wish to abstain.
Yeah. Egberto is going to abstain as well. I think I better do that.
Okay. Abstain. Any other changes to votes? Is there anybody I have missed? Let's see. I think we have everybody accounted for. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 yes votes. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 no votes. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 abstentions. Julie, how do you choose to vote?
I'll abstain.
We have 7 abstentions. There being 10 yes votes and 4 no votes, the motion carries.
Point of information here.
10 yes, go ahead, Donald.
10 is not a majority of this vote, total vote.
Then Julie changes her vote to from abstain to yes.
Okay.
Chair.
Yes, go ahead, Jane.
It doesn't have to be a majority. It is a majority. It was 10 yes and 4 no.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Tatum, go ahead.
Yes, the tally is taken on only those that participate in the vote. So those people who abstain, they are not part of the vote count at all.
So then the motion carries, correct?
It does.
Whether I change my vote or not.
Correct.
Thank you. I'll leave it there as a member of the Finance Committee. Okay, so thank you. The motion passes. That brings us to the next item on the agenda. And has Arthur joined us yet? Just out of curiosity.
I don't see him.
Okay. because I'm paying attention to the time, and one of the things we wanted to do was make sure that we give Arthur half an hour to give his report, and I was hoping that he would be here at 9:30. But at any rate, if somebody...
Chair, I have a request for information. Since Arthur's not here, I wish to move that we dispense with, that we hear the motion from KPFA.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, that, I mean, I just was checking to see where Arthur was because, you know, I said, if time permits, we would get to these things, and Arthur's, report is more important than the motions from, the April 7th meeting. But since Arthur's not here, let's proceed with, item six, which is the resolution to drop the charges against KPFA journalist Frank Sterling. This is a motion from, James McFadden. James, do you want to read the motion or would you like me to read it?
You can read the motion, but I was going to speak to the, you know, give a little bit of background if you...
Absolutely. Okay. I'll go ahead and read the motion. Whereas Frank Sterling is a long-term journalist, programmer, and trainer of KPFA, of Pacifica's KPFA apprentices, and whereas while videotaping a rally in Antioch, California in September of 2021 that was a counter-protest to an event called Back the Blue, honoring the outgoing police chief who had protected police involved in a police brutality and had even hired a San Francisco police officer who had killed a Guatemalan homeless man, Luis Gongora Pat, Frank Sterling was attacked and arrested and tasered twice. His journalist equipment was confiscated, and he is now facing charges of resisting arrest. And whereas Frank Sterling has been covering the cases of police brutality of Antioch police actions for many years, and whereas this is the second time that Frank Sterling has been targeted by the Antioch police, and whereas there has been targeting and attacks by police of other journalists such as Brian Carmody and Jeremy Corti, and whereas police and DAs must be held accountable for such actions, and whereas Contra Costa District Attorney Diana Becton, who had run on a criminal justice reform and a progressive platform, must be held to her campaign promises, therefore be it resolved, the Pacifica Radio Network calls for the Contra Costa DA to drop the charges against Frank Sterling and calls for an investigation by the District Attorney and State Attorney General Rob Bonta on whether the California Shield Act was violated by these actions, and calls on KPFA GM to issue a press release and radio cards calling for the dropping of the charges against KPFA journalist Frank Sterling and support for his pending, it says April 25th, but I believe it's now May 5th, court hearing, and for police hearing, and for police to return the equipment and media that was confiscated for him, and for KPFA to add a website link that directs people to the change.org petition asking charges against Frank Sterling to be dropped. And then for good measure, there's a link provided to folks for the change.org.
Point of order.
Yes, go ahead, Donald.
I think this motion is out of order on several grounds. To begin with, Pacifica and KPFA Radio are news gathering organizations. We are not supposed to be news making organizations. And so this motion, is actually wanting to make news on behalf of an individual who happens to be working at KPFA. Our local station board chose to not, approve such a motion. because precisely on those grounds that our station believes we are a news gathering station. We are not a news making organization. And this steps over the line, in my opinion. I'd like a ruling from the chair. And if that doesn't work, I'd like a ruling from the parliamentarian, if he cares to offer one.
Chair, I object, and I'd like to be heard. Lawrence.
Go ahead, Lawrence.
Yeah, that's a smoke screen. We have, Pacifica, this board and other iterations have, past resolutions for Julian Assange, for the individual that was murdered in Minnesota by the police, has passed resolutions on the Puerto Rican student strike in Puerto Rico, have passed resolutions expressing their solidarity and their disdain to the corporate media and the way it stereotypes and profiles individuals that are progressive in nature and are gathering news. Mr. Sterling was obviously gathering news as a journalist at this event, and he was brutalized by the state. So to say that this motion does not fall within the scope of our mission is not well taken by me. And because we have set precedent, we have passed resolutions for Mumia Abu-Jamal, for Leonard Peltier, for many people who are in the dungeons of the United States prison system and have been discriminated against. George Floyd is the most recent resolution we passed condemning that murder of this individual. So I support and I ask my colleagues to not sustain this point of order. Thank you, Chair. And I ask you to rule against the point of order.
Thank you, Lawrence.
Vanessa, to the statue.
Yes, go ahead, Vanessa.
Okay, I would love to hear the motivation from the motion maker. But in addition to that, I completely support my brother Lawrence Reyes in his statement in terms of precedence by this body, similar to what we are considering. And if Pacifica cannot support journalistic freedom, I don't know what we're doing here. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Vanessa.
Julie? Don, there are lots of hands up. But
yeah, I see
Julie,
that there are lots of hands up.
Hang on.
What I need to figure out, and I need Mr. Tatum's help for this, is can I hear more of the discussion, or can I make my, or do I need to make a ruling so that we move forward?
When you make a ruling and someone appeals from the ruling, the chair gets to debate twice and everybody else once. But I would also like to hear some debate from Mr. Schwartz, who is now on the line.
Okay, so then what you're suggesting basically is that I need to make the ruling first.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. That's what I was looking for. I'm going to rule that this motion is in order. Yeah, that's my ruling. It's not out of order.
Okay, hands up.
And so now we are, so now I would like James McFadden to motivate the motion.
Thank you. First, I want to thank Lawrence, who I think did a pretty good job motivating that motion. Let me say that I saw a video from this particular event and filmed by somebody else. And it was a protest, small number of people protesting. One of the protesters was by not one of the police officers, but one of the other people at the event. And Frank was filming that. And once that person was attacked, the police then came in and arrested her. And that's what Frank was filming. So he was actually filming that arrest when he was then attacked by the police and his equipment confiscated. He was tasered twice and beat up and arrested and originally charged with lynching. And lynching, you know, it's just an obscene use of that term, you know, for somebody in this kind of situation where you're filming police brutality. But this is what police are doing nowadays. All the charges have actually been dropped except one, which is resisting arrest, which he had three or four people on top of him. So I don't know what, you know, much bigger than him. He's kind of a small guy. To be saying that this was resisting arrest is just what they leave it with compliance. And so it's just a typical example of police abuse of power. And I think it's really important for us to support not only our own staff, but the movement, which is under attack across the country. Thank you.
Thanks, James. It looks like I have a stack here. Lawrence, you're next.
Chair, I already spoke to this
okay.
matter. Thank you.
Fair enough. Susan Young, then.
Yes, I am concerned that this is a motion that wasn't supported by the KPFA local station board and was not supported by the GM. They are, I believe, strong Pacificans, and they are very close to this issue. So I don't like to see one member of a local station board come forward and work through the PNB to override, essentially, the decisions at the local level. Furthermore, there are lots and lots of things that we can bring forward that we can object to. So I think there needs to be a very high standard. And Mr. McFadden's motion has a lot of detail about all the things that the GM needs to do and put it on the website and make pronouncements and this and that. I think that that is really micromanaging and highly inappropriate for a board member.
Jim Dingman.
Well, I'd like to speak in defense of this motion concerning Frank. And again, I think I'm the only person on this board who was on the old governance structure before this was put into place, the local advisory board system. And there were indeed resolutions that the national board put out all the time, going back into the 80s and 90s and 70s. I mean, this was nothing new that has occurred here. And I think that to defend Frank, I mean, you know, people can make the wrong call locally. They don't have to be right all the time. People in New York can make the wrong call locally. People in California can make the wrong call locally. And I think the whole idea of, you know, throwing Frank to the local police wolves, I totally disagree with. So I support completely Jim's motion on this.
Thanks. Teresa?
When I was on the board back in 2002, George Barnstone came to the PNB and had copies of, I think it was Dead Man Walking, and he wanted us to take a stand against the death penalty. And the PNB did not. The next month he came and he asked the PNB to take a stand in support of the Year of the Child. And he was deeply offended that we did not support the Year of the Child. At that time, the PNB passed a motion asking that the executive director make statements like this. There are many, many issues. There are environmental issues. There are political issues. There are issues involving violence. There's a situation involving Lamia. There's issues involving Israel and divestiture. And I just don't think it's right for us to have to spend so much time discussing each one. And then if someone votes against it, well, you're just not Pacifican. This was a resolution that was passed by the PNB.
James McFadden.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that the it's somewhat surprising, and the level of silencing that's going on in news across the country right now, and the level of silencing we're seeing even at Pacifica, where it during the LSB meeting where we tried to bring this forward, a member of the LSB was attacked and libeled by one of the people in the meeting, and in his attempt to try to defend himself, completely cut off. So there's, I think it needs to just be said that Pacifica, you know, has had fighting for decades, and it's there, and it seems to be at play at this where the dominant faction at KPFA, unfortunately, has decided that to ignore Frank because he's a member of Rescue Pacifica. They don't. That's what it seems from my perspective, that it really comes down to that. Otherwise, I just can't imagine if any of the other key people at KPFA had seen this kind of abuse that KPFA wouldn't have come to their rescue. I'm just, you know, I just can't think of it in any other way, that it's just a pettiness here on their part. So I'm sorry to say that. That's the way it appears.
Vanessa.
Yes, thank you. So, the point was made that the LSB rejected the matter. Therefore, I guess the implication is that somehow that should have killed it. That's not true. We are the PNB, the Pacifica National Board, and if a matter cannot be resolved or if there's disagreement at the local station board level, members have a right, delegates have a right to bring that matter to this board for further consideration. So I applaud the fact that this director felt strongly enough about this issue. And based on my understanding of it, I can completely, you know, agree with him and can see why, that he brought it to this body for further consideration. That is every delegate's right to do that, and he's exercising his right. In terms of the specific details in the motion, it's not a mandate. No one person can mandate anything. All any of us can do is to make a motion, and then it's voted on. So it's not how dare somebody make a motion. How dare we say that it's not okay for them to exercise their right to make a motion. So I absolutely support the motion.
Chair, timekeeper.
Are we at time?
Yes, Chair.
Beth moves to extend for 5.
Is there a second?
Vanessa seconds.
Got it. Are there any objections to the motion to extend for 5? Hearing none.
I object.
Okay. Then
Mary,
can you call the roll on the motion to extend for 5?
Extend 5. Okay, Teresa Allen. Teresa? I'm not hearing anything. Okay, Jim Dingaman.
Yes.
Votes yes. Vanessa Dixon Briggs?
Yes.
Votes yes. Donald Goldmacher?
No.
Votes no. Sue Goodwin. Sue Goodwin?
Yes.
Votes yes. Heather Gray?
Yes.
Votes yes. Donna Grimes?
Yes.
Votes yes. Evelia Jones?
Yes.
Votes yes. Ali Lexa?
Yes.
Votes yes. Marianne Martinez?
Yes.
Votes yes. James McFadden?
Yes.
Votes yes. Darlene Pagano?
Yes.
Votes yes. Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
Votes yes. Sean Rhodes?
Yes.
Votes yes. James Sagerton.
Yes.
Votes yes. Sharon Salam.
Yes.
Votes yes. Mark van Landout.
Yes.
Votes yes. Beth van Gunten. Beth van Gunten?
Yes.
Votes yes. Egberto Willis?
Yes.
Votes yes. Susan Young?
I vote no, and I resent being said that what I'm trying to do is to go against somebody from a faction. I'm doing this on principle.
Vote only, please.
Yeah. Sorry, folks. You can only vote when you vote.
Yeah. Understood. Sorry.
Okay. Let's see. I have not heard from Teresa Allen.
I'm sorry, I was muted. No.
You vote no. Okay, I believe we've got everybody. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 yes votes. We have 1, 2, 3 no votes.
Did you get Sharon? Marianne.
Hang on. Did I, voted yes.
Okay, sorry.
Julie, do you choose to vote?
I'll vote yes.
You'll vote yes. Okay, that makes it 18 yes votes, and the motion to extend for 5 minutes carries.
All right, next up was Darlene, then Jim Sagerton.
Well, this is a hard one for me because Frank Sterling is my teacher at KPFA, and a more wonderful person has hardly ever walked the face of the earth. Let me say, though, that the question of endorsements and statements and rousing votes of confidence is something we do not want to get involved in. I spent several years in a political business collective, and the number of, why won't you endorse us, you endorse others, why won't you this and why won't you that, just stymied our business, doing the work of our business completely. I also, when the LSB said, no, we're not as an LSB going to do that, presented to James McFadden a way to go after 100 LSB names from 5 Pacifica LSBs, and that wasn't the way he wanted to go. He wanted to go the way in which he gets to tell our general manager, what to do, how to do it, and when to do it, and how many times to do it. This has been an ongoing problem since the day James sat down on the LSB.
Hi.
So in terms of just, there are many ways to support Frank, and I've got a few. I hope that people can hear them. But this motion is wrong. It's bad news.
Thanks. Jim Sagerton, then Beth von Gunten.
Thank you, Chair. A high standard was mentioned, and there is a high standard we need to protect here, and that's the protection of journalists. We are a journalistic organization. We are free speech radio. We represent the Fourth Estate, the journalists. And it's not just any journalist. This is our journalist. This is not us supporting some random issue that happened somewhere else in the world or some other city. Even there, when something becomes so egregious, when somebody puts his knee on someone else's neck and extinguishes his life in front of everybody else, in front of the world, that breaks through that rule that we can't opine on every single issue. We do opine on some issues. Everybody does. You see it in editorials everywhere. Granted, we're governance. We're not the editorial board. However, this is our journalist. if we're not going to stand up for this one, who are we going to stand up for? Thank you.
Beth. Then Egberto.
Thank you. Yes, in general, I'm uncomfortable with the PNB being used as a platform to make a broad range of political pronouncements. But this undermines the First Amendment on at least 4 points, those being freedom of expression, freedom of the press, freedom of assembly, and freedom of dissent. If Pacifica can't stand up for this, then honestly, I don't know what we're good for. I don't know how we can continue to call ourselves free speech radio if we don't stand up for that principle in practice in moments like these. Thank you.
Egberto, and then Donald.
Okay. As explained by the motivator, personally, I consider myself an activist journalist. I've been in St. Louis where we went on to freeways and I was there filming when BLM closed down the freeway with police officers flying out in front of us. I was filming. I could be the person that right there, that got arrested, that got beaten, et cetera. But at the same time, the way it was motivated, that's exactly how it sounds to me, like it was me. Now, I have to give consideration to the local station and what Darlene had to say and there being different ways to handle it. But I also have to agree with all those who say that if Pacifica cannot stand up for a journalist, whomever that journalist is, that is under attack, I would be very, very concerned about how I myself operate under the system. So, I mean, I'm concerned about the vote because, again, like I said, I don't like to get in. You know, there are things I probably don't know, but that I don't know it, I would always err on the side of that person who is in the system, in the plutocracy, which means I will always err with that person who's being arrested.
Chair, timekeeper?
Yeah.
We are at time for this.
Got it. Thank you. We do have one person left on the stack, which is Donald. So
no, go ahead and take the vote.
Motion to extend for a
minute. Don't take the vote. Stop extending. Vote.
Okay. I just wanted to give you the chance to make a motion.
I appreciate it.
Fair enough.
Since you don't listen to us, what's the point?
Motion.
Well, but that's why I wanted you to have a chance to, you know, have your say.
I think Darlene said it much better than I could ever.
Okay, great. So then, are there any objections to the motion? I see Susan. Yes, there's. Okay, so Marion, could you take a roll call vote, please?
I will do so. And this is.
This is the motion to support to drop the charges against KPFA journalist Frank Sterling. It's a resolution, actually.
Okay.
Not that makes difference.
Teresa Allen.
Clarification, it's not a motion to, it's a motion to support him. It's not to drop the charges. We don't have that power.
Right.
Chair, point of order. We could request, and that's what the motion does.
It is, okay. So that was just the title that I put on the header of the motion. That's perhaps poorly worded. It asks for the charges to be dropped. But go ahead, Marion, could you take
Teresa
the vote,
Allen.
Please?
Teresa Allen?
Sorry, no.
Votes no. Let's see, Jim Dingaman?
Yes.
Votes yes. Vanessa Dixon Briggs?
Yes.
Votes yes. Donald Goldmacher?
No.
Votes no. Sue Goodwin.
Yes.
Votes yes. Heather Gray.
Yes.
Votes yes. Donna Grimes.
Yes.
Votes yes. Evelia Jones.
Yes.
Votes yes. Ali Lexa.
Yes.
Votes yes. Marianne Martinez.
No.
Did
no.
I hear no? Okay. James McFadden.
Yes.
Votes yes. Darlene Pagano.
No.
Votes no. Lawrence Reyes.
Yes.
Votes yes. Sean Rhodes.
Yes.
Votes yes. James Sagerton.
Yes.
Votes yes. Sharon Salam. Sharon?
Yes.
Votes yes. Mark Van Landen.
Yes.
Votes yes. Beth Van Gunten.
Yes.
Votes yes. Egberto Willis.
Yes.
Votes yes. Susan Young.
Yes.
Votes yes. Let's see. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 yes votes. We have 1, 2, 3 no votes. Julie, how do you choose to vote?
I'll vote yes.
Okay, with your yes vote, we have 16 yes. Excuse me while I get confused here. 16 yes and 3 no. The motion carries.
Thanks.